travesty of abortion continues, we rejoice that the amount of abortions is reducing. As long as there's one, there's too many. Justice for all, possibly a fantasy for a large portion of our population. Another flu epidemic. Disillusionment drowns the dreams of hope we were singing about through the Christmas season just a few weeks ago. And the temptation is to say, so what? How can we make 2015 any different? And it's here we turn back to this manual for becoming people God designed us to be. And I focus attention on the first through the latter part of the first chapter into the second chapter. God's call to us. Once you were far away from God, you were his enemy, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. But now he has reconciled you to himself through the body or through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But verse 23, but. When you see a but there, that usually means take note. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Moving on down into chapter 2, beginning with verse 6. And now, or another way, and it's again saying, but, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. What is the key to 2015? Continue in your faith. Does that mean everything's going to hunky-dory and there's not going to be more flu epidemics? No. There'll be new issues, different issues. But here's the call. Twice in just a few verses. Continue in your faith in Christ. You must continue to believe the gospel first taught to you about Jesus. Stand firmly. Chapter 2, verse 6. Just as you received Jesus the Lord, you must continue to follow him. There's these great provisions, but there's a call. This letter to the Colossians was first written to young Christians. And I'm not talking about young in age, you know, like 20, 30. People who were new in their faith in Christ. They were becoming confused by challenges to their faith in Christ from the traditions of regional religions and philosophies and from Judaism, which was the background of their new Christian faith. They were getting confused. What do you do? What are all the traditions, the things that you need to do? They really wanted to do it right. But like in so much of life today, there's confusion. What does it mean? How do we do it? Well, maybe just go back to the old ways of life. At least it was familiar. This call to continue is based on what God had already done for them. Once they were far away, they were enemies. from God. They were separated him. But now, the apostle says, God has reconciled you to himself through the death of Jesus. And a few months ago, we spent some time with that verse. God, through your faith in Christ, has declared you holy and blameless as you stand before him. God wants you to know the riches and glory of Christ in you. The apostle identifies some of his desires for them. He wants them to stand before God perfect in their relationship with Christ. That's what he'd been prompting. He says, I want you to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love as a church. I want you to have complete confidence that you understand God's mysterious plan for you, which is all centered in Christ. Grounded and centered. But now we come to this call to responsibility. You must continue to believe the truth about Jesus. You must continue to follow Jesus. This is not a suggestion. It's a major call. You must continue. Wow. It's a critical responsibility. The first one I read in chapter 1, verse 23, is really part of a long sentence that started with verse 21 and goes through verse 23. And a better or an attempt at another translation identifies how this is stated. But now God has reconciled you through the physical death of Jesus to himself. He has reconciled you to himself and to present you holy and blameless before him if you continue in the faith, having been grounded and steadfast. There's a conditional clause. Here's what God has done. Here's what he is doing. If you continue. Here's what God has done. Here's what you must continue to do. As you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue living in that faith. As you turn to follow Jesus as Lord, you must continue doing so day after day after day. You must continue in your faith. You should put this together as a Here's a summary of those verses. There's God's design to reconcile you to himself through Jesus. God's desire to present you to himself, holy, blameless, and faultless. But here's God's demand. There's a responsibility. We must continue in our faith in Christ, grounded in Christ, steadfast in our faith, centered in our hope. If you continue. The New Testament contains repeated warnings of being seduced and losing our relationship with God in the same way that Adam and Eve were deceived in Eden. It's very prominent and common through the Scripture. Just two references from the Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Colossians, his first letter to the Corinthians. He says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful you don't fall. What in the world is he talking about? Be careful you don't fall. Writing in his letter to the Romans, don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world pull you into its thinking. Rather, be constantly transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the warning? Is he just talking through his hat? What is this fall? Well, maybe that was a Paul thing. Well, maybe it wasn't. Good old St. Peter. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall. Why are these writers so concerned? In that same letter, Peter writes, I am warning you ahead of time, dear friends. Be on your guard so that you will not be carried away by the errors of wicked people and lose your own secure footing. You must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you avoid falling? Continue in your faith. Keep growing in your faith. Well, they're not alone. How many of you know who Jude is? Yeah, it's this little book next to the last book of the New Testament. It's one whole chapter, and the benediction goes this way. Now, all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. God is working, but there's a responsibility on our part. And then there's this guy named Jesus. Have you heard me say this before? There's something about... Do you think Jesus is sort of important? Listen to what he says. Keep watch. You do not know the day or the hour the Son of Man will come. That teaching is centered in a parable Jesus taught in teaching about the second coming of Christ and the responsibility of being ready. In this parable, he told about 10 young ladies who were waiting for the parade to come to a wedding feast, and that parade would be led by the bridegroom. And it was evening time. It was dark. And a part of the requirement is to have their own lamp with oil. And those lamps were little. They just fit in the palm of a hand. They didn't allow much light. Jesus said five were wise and they had extra supply, not knowing when the prince would come. Five, Jesus said, were foolish. They brought just enough for now. But the bridegroom didn't come as soon as they expected. And soon they ran out. And so they asked the five wise ones to borrow. And there was something about this supply of oil that couldn't be shared. They had to go find their own. And Jesus said, while they were out trying to buy more oil, the bridegroom with the parade came. And the five wise went with him to the wedding feast. Afterwards, there's five foolish. After they found oil, they come, and they come knocking on the door. And the statement, depart from me, I never knew you. Why is Jesus sharing that story? Why is Jesus sharing that story? Here's why. We must be ready. Day in, day out. And we have a responsibility. We must be ready. This reflects an earlier teaching of Jesus recorded by St. Matthew chapter 7. Not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. On judgment day, when many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who disobey God's laws. Wow. Are you catching on to the importance yet? Are you catching on? Falling away is backsliding. Backsliding is relapse into old ways, to error. Leads to rejection of our relationship with God. Jeremiah describes it as divorcing God. Scripture teaches us that we will all die and face judgment. Jesus warns us about being prepared for the final judgment at his second coming. How do we prepare for this judgment? By confessing our sins, following Jesus as our Lord. Faith is more than talk. It's a walk. Faith without a walk is just talk. Backsliding is more than a simple error in judgment or confusion. There are going to be days and calls of God to growth and ministry that are going to create confusion. And God in his grace is faithful to hold us steady, and the Holy Spirit will guide us. We don't lose our walk with God by a single sin or a mistake or even an error in judgment. God knows our hearts and he knows our minds. Backsliding comes as we refuse to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus' great warning is about the sin of blasphemy. And in its simplest response, blasphemy is ignoring the conviction of the Holy Spirit to deal with a sin in your life. Let me use the illustration of divorce in a marriage. There's the wedding ceremony, hope, dreams. But when there's a divorce, there's a decree by a judge. Now I want to ask you a question. Did the death of the marriage come by the decree of the judge or something else? The decree of the judge is just a reflection legally of what already happened in that marriage relationship. What was the point of death in that relationship? Hard to define, isn't it? But I defy you to tell me it didn't happen. You see, sometimes we want to say, well, can I get this far and not fall off of what if I just make a simple and we get all caught up? What's the thing? And we forget the relationship. You see, God is calling us to a relationship with himself in Christ Jesus. Faith is cultivating that relationship with Christ. It's walking in it. There's growth. God is the ultimate judge. He knows our hearts. In history, there's been this Baptist-Arminian thing. Arminians say you can fall. Baptists say you can't. You're eternalist. Folks, what do you do with these scriptures that are here? It's not a Nazarene thing. It's not an Arminian thing. It's a God thing. It's a scripture thing. It's there. Why did the Holy Spirit prompt Peter, James, Jude, Paul? And why did Jesus say it himself? Why, friends, is there this constant warning? Friends, you want a victorious 2015 in Christ? Here's what you do today. Recenter your life in Jesus. I'm not worried about your resolutions. They're going to hit the reality of life. What I'm concerned about for you is today, for you and for me, for us as a church, keep centered in Christ Jesus. You see, backsliding is the result of walking away from our relationship with God. It's allowing the distractions of conflicting pressures and desires to build and build until they control us. We quit actively cultivating that relationship with God. Prayer, Bible reading, worship. Oh, I say it again, folks. I know you're getting tired of it, but I can't get away from it. You can say all kinds of prayers, but are you praying from your heart? Ladies, you know the time hubby says, I love you, and you just wonder, where in the name of sense is your heart behind that? There's a difference between that and even a set of flowers and a genuine, I love you. You know the difference. And God knows the difference when you're saying prayers and when you're praying from the heart. We avoid worship or anything that confronts us with truth and the call to growth, the call to correction. When we start resisting that call to growth and correction, we need to be alert. We start withdrawing from ministry responsibility. You can't have a healthy relationship with God and avoid ministry responsibility to others. Can't do it. You start rationalizing guilt, blaming everybody else, whining. Finally, we submit to other priorities in our lives. The Bible calls it idolatry. Folks, sin is generally identified as an act of disobedience. But the scripture also says there's a nature of sin in our world that contaminates our hearts and leads to destruction. William Barclay, 20th century New Testament writer, commentator, teacher, says, sin kills us by degrees. Sin kills innocence. Sin deposits a tarnishing film on our minds and memory that leaves a permanent telltale residual effect. No longer are we unspoiled, pure, and pristine. Then sin kills ideals. Each sin makes the next easier, and gradually our ideals diminish and die. We associate sin with horror and shun it. Then we sample it and feel a little bit of guilt. And finally, we just sin often and have no remorse. Barclay finally observes, sin kills the will to follow God. At first, we choose forbidden pleasures because we want to. In the end, we engage in them because we have to. Once sin becomes a habit, he says, it is close to becoming a necessity. It's the gradual growth. The gradual. Friends, the apostles' call to us contains the key for 2015. Here it is. You must continue to believe this truth about Jesus. Stand firmly in it. You must continue to follow Christ Jesus just as you accepted him as your Lord. Let your roots grow down into Christ. Let your lives be built on him. The Apostle Paul says, then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. I'm going to continue with this theme next week using the story of the man who has the reputation of being the wisest and wealthiest man of all history. But how did a man so wealthy and wise write his own epitaph on life, saying,
meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. How do you get to that place? We'll touch on it next week.
Anita and I were emailing direction for this Sunday. She chose a song that is a great old song. It's a prayer. Some of you will get caught up in the significance in the sentiment of the old song. But here's my request for you today. I invite you to sing it with Danita and the team. But I want you to go beyond singing it. Here's what I want you to do. Today I'm asking you, pray it. Pray it. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. If there's sort of a check within you, just take a moment. Lord, I renew my faith in you today. Cleanse my heart. I turn to follow you as Lord today. Don't try to live next week. Don't try to live next month. Today. And tomorrow, my Jesus, I love thee. And Tuesday, my Jesus, I love thee. And you keep doing that day after day, walking in obedience. Pretty soon, December 31st will be here again. And you'll look back and you'll see the movements of God's grace in your life. So I invite you today, pray this song. Danita?